am Connor from the House of El.
And I am Ray from the House of Zod.
We are two of the many, many survivors of Krypton's destruction, and we have made our home in Australia, and dare I say, have become Australians, for better or worse. But we have also decided to read Superman comics, read Superman books, watch Superman shows, cartoons, movies, basically everything Superman, and from an Australian perspective as well. Whether you're a seasoned fan, like me,
or whether you are coming in fresh, wide-eyed, and wanting to learn more like me, then this podcast is for you. Join us for our bi-weekly adventures available on all good podcast catchers.
But just search for Last Sons of Krypton, a Superman podcast. We'll be coming to you from Australia or some cosmic dimension, wherever we are that week.
Up, and away!
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. Today we are covering Batman Hush. We are joined by a special guest. So, actually, the amount of times you come on, you're not a special guest anymore. We should call you, promote you to series regular.
Yeah, series regular. I like series regular.
I come on for the Superman stuff, and I guess this is like the first non
right.
Superman's and like, he's in it.
He's
not a more regular series guest because there's not more Superman.
So we are joined by Connor McKenna of the Immortal Iron Fist podcast and Last Sons of Krypton.
There's sons in all of your podcast names. That's very confusing.
Because they started off as two dudes and have since evolved, which made But you know, so if I did Sons and Daughters of the Dragon, the Immortal Life's hell of a word.
No, that would be it's already fairly wordy. Yeah. Last Sons of Krypton I like as well, so.
Yeah. Well, I hopped on here because like there's very few quote unquote classic Batman stories I haven't read, and one of them was Hush. So I'm like, oh, I'll come on this, and that'll make me finally read Hush. So I kind of used you.
I thought that would work as well, but I ran out of time to read Hush. So
I mean, the comic's better.
Wait a minute, are we in a position where the only person that's fully read the comic book is me?
No, I've read it.
Okay, that's
he just only read it recently.
Yeah.
No, but that's... I was sitting there going, are we actually in a situation where I've been the only one who's read the comic? Oh, my God. Because that's a virtual impossibility, because outside... Look, the only comic books I've got that I don't think are kind of fairly kind of, generic big titles are... I've got the entire Farscape comic collection, and I've got the prequel to Justice League Gods and Monsters.
Right. Oh, yeah, I can see that. That was fun.
So, yeah, so this is an adaptation of the Batman Hush storyline in the comic books, to the point where even, like, the main art on the front is a version of the comic book as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a... Hush is almost a bit of an afterthought in this movie.
I guess not spoiling the comic, but it's like he's not as much of an afterthought in this movie as he is in the comic, but in the comic, he's still an anticlimax with someone else, behind it all. So I was kind of surprised with, like, the Hush comic. It's like, oh, Hush isn't actually that, like, important. And then the movie sort of, in my opinion, kind of made Hush more important by changing who he was.
Right. We'll get to that.
Yeah, that's at the end, obviously.
I mean, but that's like one of the famous things that people, I mean, they do it quite often because they don't want to like, they want people to have something new, but also for there to be some surprises. But I find a little bit strange sometimes because if it makes the storyline worse, then I think it's a weird thing to do. I don't think there's a lot of cross-pollination Mm-hmm. Like, as Alan's just kind of, I think, exemplifies, he's like a good age to have been into DCAU when it kind of was in its height, and he's not read many of the comics, so I don't think there's mm-hmm. I'm more into comics generally, but I'd not watched any or almost any of the films. Not necessarily DC comics, but I'm just saying, I mean, there is some cross-pollination, but not that much.
I feel like that this movie was made more for people who had read Hush than people who hadn't, but I could be wrong.
Because
I think it's probably the kind of story that is going to pull in the people who've read it.
Yeah.
And it's also one of the high profile Batman stories. Like, if you're going to ask people who don't know much about Batman, they'd probably say like Killing Joke, Hush, Halloween,
the three that have been adapted.
The one that
surprises me is that they've never adapted Nightfall.
You haven't read Nightfall, have you?
No, I haven't.
I don't mean that in a derogatory way, but I just mean
I assumed there was going to be something amusing behind the question.
It's like 90 asinine issues of, like, it's just too long. I think it would...
All right.
It would be a bit... Like, it's definitely adaptable, and you could definitely streamline it, but it would be harder to adapt, I think, than what they've done so far, because you have Nightfall, then you have Night Quest, which is, like, Bruce Wayne's not even in it unless you read the comic where Bruce Wayne's fighting crime in a wheelchair. Yes, that happens. Yes, I hated it. And then there's Night's End, which is, like, so it's like a trilogy. So they would have to do more than one movie. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, there is some pretty good stuff in there, but it's like, it's so long for something that's not good enough, you know. So, if they're plumbing the depths of Batman, I'm sure they'll get there eventually. That's like one of the only things they haven't adapted, I think.
Well, they've gone for the Doom that came to Gotham first, so.
Right.
Because that's coming. Yeah. That's either came out or about to come out.
They might do Dark Victory.
Which I mean, they've kind of touched on R.I.P. I mean, they've done like Batman and Son and stuff, so it's not, you know, like, you know, and touched on some of the Grant Morrison run there. So, I mean, it's just like, I'm just trying to think of which other ones. Yeah, anyway.
Also,
I'm just saying this is one of the ones that people have heard of, but it's also, it seems to be one of the ones that's very highly regarded by comic readers.
They also haven't touched Dark Knight's Metal, which I'm a little more thankful for.
I hated Dark Knight Metal.
Not watched
I think
that at all. Even
I think it's garbage.
Yeah, I thought it was.
I genuinely don't understand how people like that.
Thank you, Connor, for giving me the chance to say.
Because
I'm sorry,
because secretly some of us are edgy 12-year-olds.
And because you said garbage, I was like, oh no, that's a good word for it. Yes.
I haven't touched it either, because I just went. Wait, so it's, what if Batman had other powers but also evil? No, not interesting.
It's a bit stupid.
If you hear this pitch, if you hear, oh, Batman's infected with Joker toxin and he becomes like a Batman Joker, the Dark Knight Who Laughs, and he is so, it's Bruce Wayne's intellect with the Joker's chaotic nature, and he can literally just bend the multiverse over backwards and spank it. And if you hear that and you go, whoa, that is interesting and awesome, then it's for you. If you think it's stupid, then it's not for you. So, like, I'm all for making Batman like a bit of a dark mirror of himself and making him a bad guy instead of like Superman, but like the idea that Bruce Wayne infected with Joker toxin is like a threat to the multiverse is just stupid to me. Yeah. Like, it's just, you've gone too far. And he's a Judge Death ripoff as well, so. Yeah,
very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, anyway, to get on to the movie. So we open up with Bruce Wayne attending a party. Selina Kyle's there. They establish, oh, Catwoman hasn't really done anything for over a year. Meanwhile, I already go, okay, Rebecca's on board, because Nightwing is kicking butt within 2 minutes.
Yeah, and he's pretty, I mean, like, unlike some of the other appearances, he's not quite as sort of comedic side effect, you know, like comedic quippy. He quips, but it's just like, this feels more like they've got the character right. also, in the sort of like that familial joking between them, but he's getting on with it and he's being sensible and doing the right thing.
Also, he's the only kind of member, it's him and Alfred are the only kind of members of the Bat family that feature heavily in this film.
Yeah.
Tim
Drake notably missing because he was big in the comic.
Tim Drake is like completely always missing in the DCAU, it seems.
Also, yeah. Damien has one scene. Batwoman doesn't appear at all, even though I'm sure the last Batman film she featured heavily.
She did.
Batwing's not in this film. Again, he kind of featured heavily in the last story.
But I'd also point. I mean, the other thing I'd say about it is, I think this is the best Damien we've had as well. Like, in the same way as I think this is one of the best Nightwings we've had, I think this is the best Damien we've had. Because you know how previously we were talking about, you couldn't really tell if it was Damien or Tim by character. Whereas this one, you can definitely tell this is Damien.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I never thought he was like Tim in these movies.
No, but like in some of them, he's not like, the thing that distinguishes him in the comics is that he's like a bit, he's less kind of chirpy and very, you know, I'm going to kill them all now. And, you know, like a bit of a surly child. And in some of the DCAU things, he's just been quite just a young kid. Generically chirpy young kid. I don't mean like Tim, but I just mean like he's not seemed like Damien, perhaps. He just seemed like any 12-year-old or 10-year-old. Yeah. Whereas here he actually like, this
a lot more of the
like
child-aimed films, like Lego films or stuff like that.
Right.
No, but also the cartoons, but like, I mean, also the sort of standard ones. But this one, he actually feels like he has more of Damien's personality. So even though it was brief, I appreciated that as well.
Also, there is a very, very brief cameo of Batgirl as well.
Yes.
Which I thought was pretty pointless.
Who at least isn't telling Dick off for not ringing her.
What? It's because in the comic, like, I think the biggest Bat character in the comic besides Batman is Oracle. And then she sort of showed up in this as Batgirl for like 2 seconds. And I was like, oh. Is she like the huntress of this? And then she never showed up again. And I thought it was really pointless.
Well,
so.
It's purely because, I think at this point it's more, right, we've had her appear in a cameo in a post-credits in one film. And the next time she appears, she's going to die. So we might as well use her for something else.
I didn't know she died. When did she die?
Because the next film, look, the next film that any of these characters appears is Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Well, I didn't know they all died, so thank you for that, Alan. No, I'm kidding.
Wow, one person who gets maybe 3 lines of dialogue in the entire DCAMU dies. In a
to
film
be fair,
that basically the entire plot is loads of people die!
Okay.
I don't even remember her dying in that, so.
It's literally, I don't even think, I think it's like in the background you just see her getting surrounded by
yeah, there's a lot of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so we get we also get introduced to Thomas Elliot.
Yeah.
Not the yeah.
Yeah, so Thomas Elliot, who in the comic books is Hush, and who, if the plot of this film made sense, is Hush.
I disagree, but we'll talk about that later.
Right, okay. Just to make this clear, I'm not saying that Thomas Elliot has to be Hush. I'm saying if you're going to do a twist, if you're going to do a twist that it's not him, you need to establish the character is a lot earlier.
I don't have much faith in the films.
I don't know. I think making the Riddler Hush is what you would do. Like if you, because sorry, Rebecca, for the spoilers, but it's inevitable if we talk about it.
I was going to say that. Like, I started podcast, watching it so. The minute we're introduced to Thomas. I'm like, oh, I bet that's Hush in the comics, and then just carried on because like it seemed like. oh, we're introducing a new character. And I knew the things I know about Hush from hearing people talk about the comic, I kind of guessed that that must be who it was. But well, that, and then, you know, and I knew it was different in the film. So I'm not worried about spoilers.
That's why the comic gets a lot of crap, because like the only new character in the comic happens to be Hush. But like the thing is, like in the comic, the Riddler's the mastermind.
He's kind of behind everything.
For me, it's like, well, you know, if you wanted to make someone else Hush, like the way they made the Riddler Hush for me worked. You know, I didn't think it was.
I can absolutely see the argument of, if you're going to make it anyone other than Thomas Elliot, it should be Riddler. The problem is, to me, they don't even mention the Riddler until like 10 minutes before it's revealed he's Hush.
I have to say though, like, as somebody new to all these films, that didn't seem particularly unusual to me in the plotting of these films.
But wasn't he, you know, not like just like in the comic, Nightwing and Bruce stopped the Riddler from doing a heist, and they sort of comment on how the Riddler's the one that's been left out by Hush. And that could be a riddle in itself, and that, again, that pays off in the comic because it was a riddle, and in the movie I think it paid off for me because in the film, like, it's like, oh yeah, the Riddler is a question mark in this sort of scheme, and when it turns out he is Hush, it's like, oh, okay. You know, like, for me it made just as much sense as the comic, because, like, I really liked the comic, but, you know, it was a bit, I liked the Riddler being behind everything, but Thomas Elliot as Hush was almost a fake out in the comic.
Mm.
Like, it was almost just not relevant at all. Mm. So, and I know there's like a bunch of sequels to Hush, but yeah, so in the film, like, it just, I thought, in fact, in the film, it, like, it was a more traditional sequence of build up, reveal, and then climax than the comic was. And I don't mean that it was better, because I kind of liked how messy the comic was.
Yeah.
But for a traditional film structure, I think it works better than if they tried to do it
so,
the way they did the comic. You know, jumping right to the end.
anyway, you can tell how little I care about this film because I'm not sticking to task. So, Bane has kidnapped a child.
Mm.
Batman goes off to investigate. Meanwhile, Selina gets a text and also disappears. They notice that Bane's activity is unusual because he took the kid in broad daylight. Also, when they actually fight Bane, he seems less intelligent. His venom is stronger now. And though Batman's able to defeat him fairly easily, there is also a leaf that he finds on Bane.
Yes. I thought the leaf was a bit weird, but yeah.
Well, they had to really hammer it over the head.
Really hammer it. I mean, yeah.
Like, oh, leaf, poison ivy. It's like, well, why is there a leaf on it anyway?
Yeah, I mean, like...
loosely hanging on him as well. It's not even like it was like a... Oh,
he doesn't really need to leave a calling card.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you can't show his eyes being green because that's how they go with Venom, but...
Yeah.
Again, in the comic, it was Killer Croc, so they could have just used Killer Croc.
Yeah, it was Killer Croc, and it was... He was more mutated.
He looks like a big, gnarly monster, so that would have been cool to see.
Okay, yeah, that I feel like I missed that. That would have been good.
Yeah.
So...
Well, sorry, not for up to it, but there's a newscast about the kidnapping, I think, and it's called News 52. I thought I would just point that out.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay. So, anyway, whilst this is all happening, Lady Shiva is watching and basically goes, Batman, someone used the Lazarus Pit. Do you have any idea who it was? No? Okay. Fine. My point in the plot is done.
Yeah, I forgot she was even in it, actually. So she's just there to mention the Lazarus Pit, I guess. I guess it was a neat kind of way to... You know, because obviously in the comic, Ra's isn't dead. In this, he's very dead.
Yeah.
So it was like a nice little way to sort of tie it into this universe by saying that the League still doesn't have a leader and stuff.
And it's kind of falling into civil war, which...
Yeah.
It happens... Certainly, I've seen it happen in a few different things, so...
Yeah.
So, anyway, it turns out that the ransom has been stolen.
What a surprise. What doesn't get stolen in Gotham City?
And that it's Catwoman. And then again. Batman has to chase Catwoman.
Yeah.
And this is where we get the... Hush shoots out Batman's rope so that he lands and yet somehow doesn't die.
He gets... I'm getting a bit muddled. He does...
Oh, sorry, no. Does he get... what, that's later, sorry. This is it. Yep, so Batman is chasing after Catwoman. Hush shoots out the rope and he lands hard. He lands on straight concrete.
And is this where he needs Thomas Elliot to do surgery? Do they still do that in the movie?
Yes, Thomas Elliot does the surgery.
Yeah, alright.
Because we have to see he really is a good surgeon.
You don't, like, if we're just talking about this film adaptation, like, you don't actually need Thomas Elliot in it.
No.
Like, he could just not be a character.
You really don't, actually.
Like, no. He's only there to pay service to the comic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess as a distraction because, like, you know, because
people are going to
expect that he's...
Yeah, it's the only reason to have him there is because you have people who have read the comic book go, oh, no, of course, he's the bad guy. And the...
Yeah.
Before we actually do that part, we have that Catwoman is working for Ivy, and that Ivy is working for Hush.
Which is weird. I wish Ivy would just not always be seen to be working with people.
Can I just say that the whole sequence where Catwoman jumps down to check on Bruce is a waste of screen time?
Yeah.
Like, cause,
it's literally there so Batgirl turns up.
Yeah, it was just awkward. Like, you cut out that scene, have Batman land, go, ow, help me, Alfred, get Thomas Elliot, and then you've got some more runtime to do better things. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So, yeah, so... Ivy gets a gift from Hush, something that glows green. So...
Oh, I wonder if it could be kryptonite.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. In the bat... No, it's a Green Lantern ring. So...
That'd be quite funny, wouldn't
it? This was an issue I had with the comic as well. That, like... I don't really have a problem with kryptonite, but when it becomes like that, you can just manufacture it.
Mm-hmm. No,
like, it's
I'm just that common.
You.
I think it's
ridiculous. It should be rare and sought after. Not,
well, that's... I mean, that's...
You know?
It's one of the few good ideas from The Dark Knight Returns is this idea of Bruce going, oh, no, I've spent years and millions of dollars to get enough synthetic kryptonite that I can slightly hurt you.
Yeah.
That's the point where I accept it, but when it's just like, oh, look, we've all got a bit of kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As if, Batman wouldn't also be, you know, he's mates with Superman. He would like
be fair,
stepping
Batman
in.
Does have some.
Yeah, no, and he always no. But this is my point is that Batman feels that he should have something that can take everyone else down.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't feel that everyone else should have it, and all the baddies. Yeah. I don't think he'd want other people out there being able to threaten Clark.
Yeah.
Well, for context, so when this was written, like they changed it in the film, but in the book, like. Batman has a ring and Superman's the one that gives it to him originally, and the movie just kind of has these knuckles.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, so this was written by Jeff Loeb, and at the same time he was writing this, he was writing Superman and Batman. So do you remember Public Enemies?
Yes.
Like that was almost coming out simultaneously with Hush, which I think is why Superman was in it because he just wanted to write them
right
together.
So back in the Batcave, they arrange for Bruce Wayne to have a car crash to explain why Bruce Wayne needs
surgery.
That's
the really funny bit where she's like going, "Oh, I think it's terrible. You've got you have a plan for this," and like they're all just like, "Yeah, of course." Like, and I kind of agree. I'm with them. It's like, why? Of course they should have a plan.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, he's turning up beaten up a lot and he's supposed to have a secret identity. It's not that weird. It's the fact, you know, like, that she makes it sound weirder than I think anybody else would think it was.
So,
because he clearly gets beaten up an awful lot.
So, after we get. So, Batman gets surgery from Thomas Elliot. Again, they do this thing. They go, "Oh, I should have been a better friend," and then Thomas Elliot goes and you have the slightly sinister. You see his face as he walks out, and his face drops. Because again, they are trying to kind of, as I said, they do all the prep necessary to have Hush be Thomas Elliot.
Yeah,
and
they
then
do.
Don't do it.
Well, they cut out all of like the backstory with Thomas Elliot, so there's
which
there's
is
like
fair
even
because they've only got 80 minutes to do this film.
It's fair, but it begs the question of at this point he may as well not be in it because he's just random.
Yeah, there is no. I mean, I think that there isn't any reason for him to be in it except as that kind of distraction.
Red herring.
Yeah, red herring. That's the word I'm trying to think of. Thanks.
So, Batman, instead of like recovering, decides to go straight back out there with no negative consequences. So again,
well,
it's
he has
quite
his
funny.
New suit.
It's Julian's
it
excuse
his head,
to give
so
him a
fine.
Blue suit,
which I was okay with because I like vintage.
I like.
Oh, yeah,
the
it's
suit.
A great suit. So. The reason he's going back out is because Bane is being recruited into the Suicide Squad.
As you are. You know, I don't like Bane. I know I should, but I just don't.
Well, he's only good in one story. Outside of that, he's just a joke, really. So.
Oh, no, it's literally. The only reason that I like Bane is because I really, really liked Batman and Robin because I was 7 when it came out.
Oh, I mean, I like Batman and Robin. I didn't remember Bane was in it, but
he's
been
just
a thug. I've watched it. Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't even say anything. He just goes, "Urgh."
Because the only film I remember him being in is the Nolan one. It's like you can't understand a word he said, and it made the whole thing a little bit comedic because their brain just kept coming and going.
That movie's comedic for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, but that's one of them.
Yeah.
Oh no, it is. It's such a. It's a dumb movie, and I don't get it.
It's pretty stupid.
Like, I wanted to like it so much, but like just the Bane voice and the Batman voice one movie just did my head in.
It's just funny because the movie was trying to be really smart, so they made it even funnier with like how dumb it was.
It's like it may have been better if we could hear anyone talk, and it's just like it was the start of when people. For me, it was the start when people started joking about Nolan and his sound mixing, and how he kind of wanted people to not be able to hear any of his films.
Anyway, so we then have Batman. So Bane breaks out, unsurprisingly. Batman and Cadmus work together to recapture him, and this leads to Batman and Catwoman being in the same place at the same time, so Catwoman can say, "I want to work with you and fight Ivy."
Yep.
So eventually Catwoman convinces Batman to work with her and kisses him.
Yeah, I mean, it felt a bit of an out of place scene, but elsewhere, I think it would have worked well, so it's fine.
It exists purely so they get that, because I think it's a splash page in the comic. That's literally what they were trying to do.
I know, but like what you said, when you've only got 80 minutes, sometimes it just seems a bit random. Like, overall, I quite like that whole story of, like, we're all very used to seeing the sort of Batman Catwoman, and I thought it was well enough done, but it was just, I don't know, it just felt like a bit of a time waste when you've not got a lot of time.
The thing that they've been missing from the comic is the comic had a lot of build up to that through Bruce's like inner monologue. He's been talking about how he's like, oh, I have these feelings toward Catwoman and she's been good lately while she's working with Ivy, and he's like, I'm so confused and horny, and then they do that big kiss.
I would quite like that, to be fair.
In the film they just like kiss, you know. So
And yeah, it's not even like they've introduced Catwoman in previous films and there's a relationship there or anything like that. It's literally just, yeah, Catwoman's here and Batman and he wants to date her, and yeah. So Batman and Catwoman find out that Ivy's in Metropolis. Batman says we'll pack the jewelry, because just by going to Metropolis, he has to bring Kryptonite with him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I get that. It's a bit paranoid, but we've never accused him of not being paranoid, so... Mm-hmm. It's like I said, I don't really mind Batman having access to it and wanting access to it anytime he might get... But it's just when it becomes much more obvious than that, then I don't know.
So... It's at this point that it becomes clear that this film takes place after Rise of the Superman, because there's obvious references to the fact that Lois and Clark are dating, they know each other, there's other references later in the film. So Bruce arrives and talks to Lois and Clark, and... nothing really of consequence, apart from that Superman's eyes briefly flash green when Bruce leaves.
Because, you know, you have to.
I mean, the I fact think that's that he fairly obvious.
Shows up with, but the fact that he shows up with Ivy later, with his eyes going green, is not enough of a hint. Like, they have to hint at it beforehand.
Also, we have Batman visits Lex Luthor in bed.
That's where we get the big reign of
Sorry,
the Superman.
That sounds very bad.
So, I mean, he does do that. So
he does,
I know,
do it,
but
yes.
It's just a way of phrasing it. He goes to visit him in bed.
This has happened. The weird
I mean,
thing
I,
is, this
I
has happened on this show
to
more
him
than
while he's
once.
Still in bed, but you know,
this has happened more than once because it also happened in the second or third episode we did. Batman uses Lex to trace Ivy's location. Batman and Catwoman attack Ivy, only for Ivy to reveal, oh no, I've got Superman under control, because I have kryptonite lipstick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great.
Which I thought, like, the way they, in the comic, because I Superman mind control is done to death even by this point in early 2000s, but the way they did it in the comic was pretty good, because he was never really fully under control, which is sort of similar in the movie, but like kryptonite lipstick, come on.
Yeah,
it's just stupid. It's
yeah. So Batman goes into takes Catwoman and himself into the sewers because he knows they're lead lined because Lex. And
because that's what you do is lead line your sewer, whatever. Yeah. I guess there are like lead pipes.
And also, I suppose it's a bit more kind of yes, Luthor would do something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they clarify that like Lex deliberately installed like lead line sewers near.
Yeah.
Just so he could, like, do things and have places to go without Superman being able to see.
So, Batman sends Catwoman off on a mission, which turns out to be you're to kidnap Lois and hang her off the side of the Daily Planet. Also, we get the Batman quote, which I think is probably the most well-known quote from this comic book, which is that deep down Clark is a good person, deep down I'm not.
Yeah. It was nice they included that line.
I think they had to at some point.
Well, it also, because you have less, like, the comic really hammers home throughout the inner monologues and stuff that Clark is, like, resisting pretty strongly the mind control, yeah, and that Batman will be dead, whereas in the movie you have less time, so I think that one line kind of sums up the situation pretty well.
Yeah. So, yeah, Batman and, well, Batman doesn't get completely wiped off the side of the planet. But he does use a lot of manipulation and stuff like, oh no, I've let go, I've opened the gas main so you can't use your heat vision. Like, he actually does use tactics and intelligence to
survive long
enough that he can go, look, Lois is in danger, go save Lois.
Yeah.
Though apparently Batman did not expect Catwoman to drop Lois off the building.
No.
Yeah, that's quite funny, to be honest.
In the comic, she's being such a brat. She's like, let go of me, blah, blah, blah. And then Catwoman lets go of her, and she's like, ah. But I thought that was really funny.
It was funny. I laughed. I mean, I laughed. Throwing people off buildings is inherently funny, depending on who they are. In a cartoon, yeah. I should specify.
Yeah, I'm just going to go, remind me never to go to a high building with you, Rebecca.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, we'd actually have to meet first. The last episode we ever do, I'm driving down to the city you live in. We'll actually do it in person. Well, there we go.
Okay.
Town.
City. Like. Just been made a city. I'll have you know. That gives everyone a big clue.
I, on the other hand, live in a town that's somehow a town, even though, well, some people live here, but not many. So, after breaking Superman of his... of the control, the three of them then interrogate Ivy, who says, oh, the person who put me up to it's called Hush.
Yeah, she does in fact mention that.
Yeah. So, and that's the guy who's been appearing with bandages over his face. I have to say, the voice acting's pretty good.
The voice acting in throughout this one is pretty good. I did most of them.
It is good, but it was embarrassing when Hush said Hush earlier on.
Mm-hmm. It's always embarrassing.
I was like, oh. Also, she probably mentioned that Superman broke out of control and saved Lois Lane, and that she didn't fall to her death.
Of course he saved Lois. That was I could just see your eyes rolling.
Well, again, it's like, at the time, that's not a big deal, but now with all this injustice bullcrap, it's like, looking back on it, it's like, I wish it had been someone else.
Yeah.
That he saved. In fact, in the comic, they were like, I'm pretty sure it was either going to be Perry, Jimmy, or Lois that got thrown off the building. And
right.
Catwoman had to choose, and she's like, oh, I'll choose the girl because, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's more the fact that they haven't really established Jimmy Olsen or Perry.
Yeah.
Like, Lois is the only character that's actually got any establishment in this universe.
Bibbo. Throw Bibbo off the roof.
Yeah, Bibbo does.
He doesn't work at the telegraph.
But Bibbo would survive, because Bibbo is the best character ever. So...
Sounds like Bibbo talking.
So... Then Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne have a date. Even though Bruce knows that Selina's Catwoman and Catwoman doesn't know he's Batman... we get our Damian Wayne scene, which is Damian giving his dad the talk.
See, I kind of liked how in the comic Bruce and Selina weren't dating, because the whole situation was less dodgy.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, they do go to the opera together before she knows he's Batman.
Well, she's Leslie's guest, not right, okay. Bruce or Tommy's.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Right, okay. So.
The opera, which is missing. Oh, wait, no, it is in this, the opera.
The opera is in this, yeah. Yes. But meanwhile, Harley is hired by Hush because he kidnapped Joker.
Yeah.
Just off screen, you just casually kidnap Joker. Because that's easy to do, apparently.
Hey, look, I'm all for Joker being taken down a peg or two.
I know.
You know, but I don't think he got kidnapped in the book, right? He was in on it.
I don't think he was in on it, but it was more just a case of he was manipulated to the same idea, which is he was manipulated to be in the same area as the corpse of Thomas Elliot.
Well, no, I remember in the comic because they said, because it made me laugh, because they're like, because Rebecca in the comic at one point, Clayface pretends to be Jason Todd. This is before he got resurrected.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the only reason Joker signed up is because he thought that was so hilarious.
That's quite sweet, you know? Yeah. Okay. I may not like Joker overall, but that seems pretty funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
So, Harley attacks the opera because she's been hired to kill Bruce Wayne. We get a Catwoman versus Harley fight, and then Batman goes outside to find Thomas Elliot dead with Joker standing over him holding a gun. And Joker going, no, I didn't. Well, in his way, going, I didn't do this. I know it looks bad, but it wasn't me. Batman then almost beats him to death.
Yeah.
And it's at this point I realise, wait a minute, this is the first time Joker of this universe has turned up.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter in that respect because everyone knows that about the Joker. But, like, you know, one of my favourite moments in the comic was Batman nearly killing the Joker because it flashes back to everything the Joker's done. And it really addresses that question of, like, Bruce does not want to feel responsible for this and he hates the Joker. There's, like, no dependency on Bruce's part. Like, he hates him and he wants to kill him.
Right.
And, you know, it really goes into, like, Jason Todd and Barbara and everything. In the movie, it's like,
and also
he shot Thomas and he got mad and, yeah.
And also Jim Gordon in this film, I think it was like, wasn't it like, Joker had just done something to Jim Gordon, and Jim Gordon had almost killed him, and Batman stopped him. There was importance to that aspect as well. That's why it was Jim Gordon that stops him.
Which, screw you, Jim, you're an idiot. Anyway, I didn't like Jim Gordon in Hush. I usually love Jim Gordon, but he was a moron in that book. So, I hated him.
So, we then get Thomas Elliot's funeral, and that's him virtually out of the film. His corpse makes a cameo appearance.
Yeah.
Right.
Purely because they want to keep on with this idea of, oh, it's definitely Thomas Elliot.
I guess that's the twist for the people who've read the comic, is when his corpse is thrown at Bruce.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, he's actually dead. So
Batman then is discussing what happened, and the death of Thomas Elliot is proof to him that Hush knows who Batman is.
Mm.
Which
makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. We then get, and this is about 45 minutes into this 1 hour and 15 minute movie, Riddler appears and he's not really a threat and no one takes him serious. Look, literally, the scene where they catch Riddler, Nightwing is too busy talking about Selina Kyle.
Again, though, it's the exact same as the comic, that scene, almost.
Uh-huh.
The exact same. And again, it's like it happens around the same part of the comic, like about halfway through.
Yeah.
Because the movie is 90 minutes. They've gone longer at this point.
Quite frankly, the point I'm making is, if you're going to have Riddler be more than just a mastermind in the background, if you're going to have him physically be involved, to me, that needs to be one of the first couple of... like, even maybe before the Bane scene, or instead of the Bane scene, you have them catch Riddler.
Is it really that important? Or wouldn't it make it a bit obvious? You know?
I mean, the second it's not Thomas Elliot, it is obvious who it is.
Yeah, well, for... I don't know, for people who haven't read the comic, like, is it obvious once Thomas Elliot said who Hush is?
I didn't find it obvious who it was.
Right.
I mean, it didn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like, oh, yeah, of course.
Because it could, you know, you could still pull out any Batman rogue, Two-Face, for example, until we actually see him. But, you know, they could have made him Hush in the, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, like, and there's a bunch of other ones that I don't really know, so...
Yeah.
Kite Man.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed that.
For his edgy reboot as Hush.
So, anyway, this is the first time that Batman and Hush actually interact. We get a... because Hush is watching Riddler being arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And... there's then a scene where Batman tries to confront Hush and gets completely wrong-footed by a bunch of mirrors. Cars. And
it's a very movie scene.
Yeah.
Like, we need to have Batman come head-to-head with Hush, you know, for a little skirmish. And we'll put some mirrors in there because it's visually cool. Mm. Whereas in the detective story of the comic, like, it... he doesn't need to interact with Hush until the end, you know, so.
So, we then get Batman meets with Selina. He just appears in her house. And I love the fact that she tries to blow, oh no, I was just breaking in. And so, no, I know you live here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Batman decides to unmask. I mean, it's a scene that has to happen.
Where he tells, well, in the movies, he tells, like, every woman he's with that he's Batman.
Yep.
Funny.
And it turns out that one of Batman's scars was caused by Catwoman. And we have a scene where he discusses his scars in bed.
Great. I mean, yeah. Why not, right?
Yeah, it's just kind of that. Yeah.
Right, honestly.
Oh, that's where my spine was snapped in half and I made a miraculous recovery.
Yep. So, we then get a romance and crime fighting montage.
You know what? I really liked it.
I did too!
I didn't mind it.
I liked that she moved into the mansion with him. Or to an extent, anyway, like having breakfast together, I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
So again, it's just something that's contrary to me, as I usually hate romance plots, especially in Superman. But it, you know, seeing
I think,
like,
with the action is pretty fun.
Well, just seeing Batman like have some character growth and not be so unyielding and everything is a nice change of pace. So seeing him like open up a bit, even if it doesn't last, like it's just. It's something to make things more interesting. So,
yeah. So, we get a scene where Catwoman's like, so Batman, you can just... do you want to go on holiday, Batman? We'll go on holiday and we'll do, like... we'll even do something extreme. Like, we'll hang off the side of a mountain. And you can just let Nightwing hold the fort for like a week.
Yeah, well, I mean, he could.
Oh, he actually could. Yeah, I mean, literally,
but
that's...
he's got a legion of bat people. So,
well, yeah, literally, just go, Dick, can you wear the bat suit for a week? And then it means we get a reference to post Battle for the Cowl, and that would be nice. And anyway, so meanwhile, Someone breaks into Thomas Elliot's office. And
this was real clumsy. In terms of the script, like, it was just, oh, we have to give Batman a lead, let's just have this happen for no reason.
Literally, it is almost kind of like Riddler going, oh no, I've been too subtle here, I'll need to spell it out.
Pretty much, yeah. So, 'cause there's no reason for him to break in to the office.
Literally, it's just so that he can leave a picture of himself with a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With his alias name.
Meanwhile, Thomas Elliot has been dug up. Nightwing and Catwoman investigate and get attacked by Scarecrow.
This is Rebecca, the Jason Todd was digged up in the comic.
Right, right.
This is where he pops up. Which is quite a cool nightmarish climax in the book, because Jim Lee's artwork is really great.
I definitely want to see it. Like, it has made me want to read it.
Like, it's like, even if you've seen this, it's still worth reading.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I guessed who probably was it, but it's such an iconic one, and I'm just mad I didn't have the time to read it beforehand.
Yeah, I knew who it was, but how it got there was new, and I didn't know about the Riddler. Plus, it's just nice artwork, good characterization. The main bad thing, though, is Batman brings up his dead parents, like, every issue. And it's just like, dude, let it go.
The one scene I'm kind of sad doesn't show up in this, which shows up in the comic book, is, and I can see why they wouldn't have it in the film, is the flashback of Thomas Elliot and Bruce Wayne when they see Green Lantern.
That was cool. I liked that.
Yeah.
Because it's, I can't remember the name, it's the Green Lantern with the red suit and the green cape.
Alan Scott, the Golden Age Green Lantern.
Yeah. Scarecrow attacks, which leaves Nightwing incapacitated, so he can't take place in the finale, and leads to Catwoman being captured by Hush.
I will say, sorry, Rebecca, Nightwing's in the movie more than he is in the book. So, because he's also sort of taken Tim Drake's place as well. Poor Tim. Because Tim Drake's the one who's around at this point. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, because this is before... before the New 52, so... And I think this is before Son of Batman as well.
2002, 2003. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think the next major story is Son of Batman after this.
Oh, cool.
So, as that happens, Batman interrogates Riddler in Arkham. And if you wanted to view this as a mystery, this is the mystery kind of basically explained in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I get that this film wasn't a mystery. This film was a Batman and Catwoman film that Hush cameos in.
Yeah, but it worked okay for that.
Yeah, so Riddler was a client of Thomas Elliot because he got a brain tumor. The surgery didn't work, but it did leave a question mark scar on Joker's head.
How convenient.
Riddler's head. Riddler then instead went to the Lazarus pit, because they mentioned that earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I remember the Lazarus pit mentions.
And the Riddler confesses straight away, oh, no, I'm Hush. And it just, much like the Thomas Elliot thing, it just feels really clunky.
It does.
Well, this is where the film becomes really clunky, because they have a punch-up. There's no, again, in the comic, there's no punch-up. And this, it's like, it's a movie where you have to have a punch-up with explosions. Uh-huh. Who's good for a punch-up? Oh, the Riddler.
He's not really. Yeah, no, you're right.
Joe actually could have been more... The more I think about it, since you were using him for no reason anyway, have it be Bane and just be like, oh no, Hush is him without Venom in his system.
Mm.
Anyway, and then you've got, and then he's a physical threat as well. So,
because Bane's a mastermind as well. Like, his, despite the fact that he, you know, he's all juiced up, his, you know, biggest asset is his brain. Like, that's how he beats Batman. So,
it turns out that the Riddler in custody is actually Clayface, who's being remote controlled by Riddler. And I'm assuming that basically puppeted what Riddler was revealing. Mm-hmm. So Clayface and Batman fight whilst Joker gets a bit. It's about the most interesting thing that someone's done with the Joker in any of these films for a while. And after defeating Clayface, we get on to the final fight.
Actually, Joker's commentary of that fight was pretty funny, I thought.
Yeah. As I said, it's about the most interesting thing someone's done with Joker in one of these films for a while.
Like, he definitely did not annoy me as much as he has in most films.
Just put him to the back more and make him funnier, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's had his time in the spotlight. Give it another couple of decades before you push him so much again. But anyway.
Well, I think the one, well, the impression I get is outside the Joaquin Phoenix Joker, I don't think we're going to get a film heavily featuring Joker anytime soon.
If the Batman 2 has the Joker, I will take my own life in protest. But
I think they'll just purely keep him as the Hannibal Lecter he's kept in a cell thing that they tried, that they were going to do with him in the film before they deleted the scene. I think that's the only way they're going to use him. Well, at least I hope that's the only way they use him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we also get the reveal of why Thomas Elliot was dug up. It's so it can be used as a jump scare on Batman.
I mean, fair enough, but it's a bit dumb.
I guess, I mean, if I wanted to use Batman, if I wanted to mess with Batman, throwing the corpse of his friend at him is a pretty good idea. But I think, again, it just kind of speaks to, it just makes you think of Thomas Elliot's involvement in his film in general when you see his corpse.
Oh, no, it is. It's literally just so that it can be, oh, you think it's Thomas Elliot and it's actually Riddler.
Yeah.
I think it's also like, I don't know, like, Batman's seen a lot of his close friends and family sort of in terrible situations, throwing the corpse. I don't know if it would get him, how much.
I get,
it would depend.
This is
it
the
was.
Guy
I mean, like, you know, he was pretty chill about what happened with Jason.
I mean, this is the guy who's still not over his parents, though, so.
That's true as well, but, like, considering I've only just met Thomas Elliot, it's hard for me to make that emotional connection that he's in any way as important as.
Also about the Jason thing, this is me taking yet another opportunity to rag on Death in the Family and the aftermath. It is legitimately one of the worst written comics I've ever read.
And I mean, it's terrible. I think that's one of the reasons people are angry about it, is it makes no sense.
Oh, it's. Mm. I mean, literally, the only interesting thing to come out of it, other than, oh, fans got to vote to kill a kid, is...
Or it got hacked, but yeah.
But literally, the only thing that's came out of it is the Red Hood later, who's a semi-interesting character.
Mm,
I mean, yeah. I like the idea of, like, the idea of Jason dying, and I think the way he was killed, I thought was good. Like, if you don't count the fan votes,
mm-hmm.
It's just everything that came after that was really stupid. Like, the Joker having diplomatic immunity and stuff was, like, really dumb. And it was trying to be serious, like The Dark Knight Returns. And I don't like The Dark Knight Returns that much, but it was embarrassing.
It was.
I was trying to imitate it. Who wrote that? Jim Starlin, I think. Shame. Shame.
So, we have Riddle. They kind of hang with, oh, the Lazarus Pit means he's now physically able to stand toe-to-toe with Batman. Don't think about it.
Yeah, of course.
And even though he's ditched the Riddler persona entirely, he's got a question mark Scythe. And
yeah.
Meanwhile, Catwoman is able to escape and teams up with Batman so they're able to defeat Hush.
That whole fight is just, I almost switched off. Like, they just have to have their obligatory big fight at the end, but it was just...
Oh, it's dumb.
Yeah, I wasn't into it.
And after the fight finishes, we have Hush is hanging off over flames. Batman's trying to save him, and Catwoman goes, no. You don't have to kill him, but you don't have to save him either.
Yeah, yeah.
So Catwoman cuts the rope so Hush dies. And this is the reason that Batman and Catwoman break up.
Yeah, when I watched it, I thought it was a neat twist on how they broke up, which was different to the comic, but on retrospect, it's kind of, like, shitty of Catwoman to just be like, oh, all of a sudden you didn't kill one of your enemies, so I'm breaking up with you, because you'll never change, even though that was, like, the first time that problem had come up in their relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's not only that, it's... spoiler, I think this is the last time that Catwoman shows up at all. Mm. So, literally, there is no reason to break them up at the end. It's purely just, oh, they broke up in the comic book, so we've got to break them up here.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, I guess it's one of those things about having the films be so not continual universes that sometimes they have to just reset.
Uh-huh.
And that means you can't move forward on things like that. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I didn't mind that they broke up in general. Like, it's not just because in the comic, but that, I think that's just kind of how it was destined to sort of be. But if they did stay together, I thought that would have been a neat twist, I guess.
Yeah, you see, that would have been another interesting
deviation.
Yeah, yeah, that people wouldn't have expected because they'd be so focused on the who is Hush, you know.
Yeah.
So that is that was Batman Hush. There's no post-credits scene.
You know what would have been really awesome?
What?
If Hush was JFK, think about what you could do with that.
I mean...
That would be cool.
I don't know if you could go toe-to-toe with Batman, but okay. So, this is the last Batman film in the DC AMU.
Ooh.
Actually, now I look at it, that is the last Batman-led film we have for a while.
Amazing.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
Highly recommend you read Long Halloween before seeing it.
Is that the next one we have?
No, one we have is, well, actually, we have two together, one of which I still don't know how we're going to do, which is Batman Death in the Family, which is that weird interactive film.
Oh, God.
Where it's like, pick your own adventure, like Bandersnatch, it's like a pick...
Wait a second, did I not put a ban on doing this one?
I don't think you explicitly banned it,
I don't want to be in a situation where one of us gets to choose to kill Jason.
Right, okay.
I will do it, but I will rant about it.
Right, okay.
Because I feel that's not learning your lesson from how horrific the whole fan vote to kill Jason was to make it a pick-your-own-adventure kill Jason.
Well, I think it's... Yeah, there are. Yeah, the first choice is Robin dies, Robin is severely injured, or Robin gets completely saved and Batman dies.
Very tasteful. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the level of classy we're dealing with.
Okay. I'm picking Batman dying, and I'll tell you that now.
I mean, I'm just again, I'll say it, it's a shitty, schlocky book, so...
No, I've read the book.
It's basically a... You can retell the story of Batman under the Red Hood.
Right.
There's 9 different versions of the film.
Right, so we'll just both pick different ones and talk about which ones we did, or whatever. We'll find a way of doing it.
Yeah.
I was just saying, Rebecca, I was just talking about Long Halloween because I'm letting you know well in advance. So
thank you.
I've got a copy of it if you want me to send it down to you.
No, I've got it, I think. I'm pretty sure I've got Long Halloween and I've got Hush. You mean, the comic. Yeah.
So, yeah, but that is the next Batman-led film if we do that. If we don't do that, Batman Soul of the Dragon is the next film.
I mean, we should do it, because otherwise you'll be sad about missing one. No, but it's fine.
We don't have to. It's fine.
Batman Long Halloween. Yes, I've got that. So I'll take that on holiday with me.
Before that, so... We have... of the 5 films we've got coming up, 2 of them are the final 2 films in the DC AMU, which this film was set in. Batman Hush. So, before that, we've got Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not at all going to be confusing. after that, we have Wonder Woman Bloodlines, which is the second and final Wonder Woman-led film that we're doing. Then we're doing Superman Red Son.
That's not indicating my thoughts at all on the movie.
You don't like the comic book?
I like the comic.
Okay. Lego. We then have the last Lego DC film, which is Shazam Magic and Monsters.
Oh yeah, that's one I didn't know existed.
And Justice League Dark Apocalypse War.
Cool.
Which... It's weird. I've seen the entire movie. I've never seen the entire movie from the start to the finish as a film.
That is odd, you're right.
Because I don't know how, but it's been stuff like... I've ended up randomly seeing clips of virtually the entire movie. So
I RSVP'd your episode on that. I think over a year in advance now, actually, because I can't wait to.
Well, as I said, I kind of want to have a few different. I want to maybe have 2 or 3 guests on that. So, and you definitely be one of the people I'd be inviting. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm still figuring out who else I'd want to invite.
Okay. I can't help you. I only know Connor.
Yeah. So, anyway. Connor, as we mentioned, Connor appears on a couple of podcasts. So...
Are we going to do our thoughts on Hush as a movie, or...?
I
thought it was all right, like a sort of 6 out of 10 all right, but like I think, to be honest, it did a pretty good job of adapting a 12 issue comic into one of these movies, and it's one of the better like efforts at adapting something.
I really like the cast and everything, so yeah
and the voice acting was good.
I agree. I mean, I found it very watchable. Like, obviously, there's bits where they're squishing bits up, but overall, I found it very watchable.
I think it's a 4 out of 10. I think the first half of it's really good. I just think the back end of it's really clunky. I think I think doing it as a, because it's a twist purely for people who's read, who have read the comic book.
Yeah, but then if you had made it Thomas, then like everyone said, it's a bit like, oh, he's the new character.
I think
either way, there's a little bit of kind of cheesiness there.
Yeah,
I feel like, again, just the impression I got when I watched this is I feel like making it the Riddler would have made it easier to digest for people who haven't read the comic.
Yeah.
And you're also right in that it was definitely there as a sort of twist for comic readers, but I feel like that's an easier twist to pull off in what they had than making it Thomas Elliot then the Riddler, but I guess we'll never know, you know, unless they did it the other way around, so...
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I do think that the back end of the film is very clunky. I'm not just meaning the Riddler reveal. There's just loads of scenes is like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is quite clunky, but I did overall enjoy it. So I think I'm more on the 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Neither rating is really a strong recommendation.
Yeah,
no.
But no, absolutely. Oh, no, absolutely not. It's, the thing is, it doesn't even have... Because, for example, the Batman versus Robin or Batman and Son have this level of complete and utter insanity, which this doesn't have. I think it's Batman versus Robin. The ending is Alfred and Batman fighting zombies with shotguns in Wayne Manor.
I will say, I definitely thought Hush was better than Reign of the Superman.
Yeah, I did.
As a movie. Like, yes, I just enjoyed it more.
Slamming your hand in a car door is better than Reign of the Superman.
It's true.
But yeah,
Those first 20 minutes were good, but that was about it.
Batman and Hush, it's not the worst movie we've seen, it's not the best, it just kind of blah. You could do worse, but you could do better.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're really bored and you like the comic, I would say it's worth watching. Like, if you just feel like watching an animated movie, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd just say read the comic, you know? Mm. So,
Connor.
Yes.
Have you been in any other podcasts, or is it just your main two at the moment?
Just our main two. We did our tradition of doing a commentary for the season premiere of Superman and Lois, where I do a lot of smack talking about the show. it's all in good fun. I enjoyed it.
I actually have to catch up with that, so that's a good reminder for me.
I've never watched Superman and Lois.
Good fun.
It's okay. I'd do stuff like watch Superman the movie before I'd watch Superman and Lois, because it's better.
I just don't touch any kind of anything beyond about season 5 of Arrow. I just go, no, I'm not touching anything else the CW touches, because they've just run out of budget by that point.
That's the thing, right? Is this show does not... Well, okay, it starts to a bit in season 2, but generally it doesn't feel like a CW superhero show. And the special effects are actually good for a TV show.
I think that's a pretty fun show.
It looks more like Man of Steel than it does The Flash in terms of visuals. You're not selling that. You know?
That's not selling it for me.
Are you denying that Man of Steel did not have good visually appealing action? Like, the way Superman moved?
It did, but I have so much baggage associated with that movie.
But that's the thing. The effects and the visuals
are
more film quality than TV quality. So.
Fair enough. Anyway, Rebecca, have you appeared in any other podcasts recently?
No. Me and Colin did an Iron Fist one a while back, but
with Lancelot.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing Rose of the Robots. We're still covering Robot Wars Series 5, which is starting to pick up now.
Okay, good. It's not quite as interminable.
Oh, no, I think it was just basically the first two episodes were, let's get our big franchise players in quickly, and we'll just put a bunch of jobbers in front of them.
Yeah. Yeah, which never works that well.
Yeah.
It was one of the Iron Fists. He's like the king of the jobbers, so.
Yeah. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks' time with Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.